Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hi there, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. This week, I'm going to be talking to you about the planets. Yes, the planets. I've talked about the signs and compatibility and everything to do with astrology. But the key part of astrology is not just your sign, but it's the planets. So I want to take a step back and explain how the planets fit with astrology, how astrologers use the planets to interpret, to give interpretation and meaning for our charts, for ourselves here on Earth. Now, astrology is not a belief system, and it's not any sort of spooky woo-woo stuff. Astrology is an ancient and complex system that's based on careful observation of the heavens and the movement of the planets around the sun. So what astrologers do is we track the movement of the planets around the sun, and we give that meaning or interpretation. And the meaning and interpretations come from ancient Greek and Roman mythology. So astrology is something that's been around for a very, very long time. It helps us. It's like a system that we use to help us better understand human nature and life here on Earth and how we fit into the natural order of things, how we fit into our solar system, and how the planets. Have you ever wondered why the planets are out there and what they do out there? If you think about the moon, which is the example I always really like to give, the moon is a satellite to our Earth, and the moon controls the tides and the water on this Earth. So if that's what the moon does, what are the other planets doing out there? I believe, and astrologers believe, that there's a gravitational pull to each of the planets, and the moon has its pull, and the other planets have their effects on our Earth, and hence on us, inhabitants of the Earth. So it's all about the gravitational pull of the planets and giving meaning to that and interpretation to that. And, you know, there are so many components to astrology that it can get pretty confusing pretty fast. So I've covered many of those different aspects in the various shows. Be sure to go back in the Om Times archive and review some of the shows. Typically, I like to talk about the planetary activities each week, but I thought it was important for this week's show to take a step back and really talk about the effects of the planets and the planetary activity. Because at the moment that everybody was born, and that means the first breath that we take a snapshot of the planets and their position in the sky at that very moment. and then we interpret the meaning and the position of where the planets were, the signs that the planets were in at that time. So we give meaning to that. And that's just for one individual. And then when I'm looking at compatibility, also known as synastry, it's basically my planets versus your planets, or how they interact together and so on. And then, of course, there's another factor to that, and it's where the planets are at any given time and how they affect me as an individual or you as an individual. And also then there's another entity when looking particularly at a relationship is the analysis of the relationship itself. So, you know, as I just said, astrology can get pretty confusing pretty fast, and it's so much more than just a sun sign. There is so much more to it. But a sun sign is a really, really great place to start. Most people know astrology as their daily horoscope. And if calculated correctly, then a daily horoscope is based off your sun sign and where the position of the moon is at that time. Because the moon is the fastest moving, we say planet, we know it's not a planet, it's a satellite, and the sun is a star, but astrologers classify the sun and moon as planets, and I am going to do that in tonight's show when I cover the meaning of each of the planets in our galaxy and what that means for us. The moon is just one example. It's an easy example to use because it's what we can see very obviously up in the sky, the satellite to Earth. The other planets we can view with our naked eye all the way out through Saturn, but it is difficult to determine which is which, and I use my trusted calendar. The calendar I use for each week's show is Jim Maynard's Celestial Influences. And I've been using that particular calendar for years and years and years. Love it. It gives me all the planetary aspects and the lunations and anything else in between. So the planets. So there was a little verse that some people use to help them remember the order of the planets. Now, there is a particular order to the planets. Obviously, Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, and we measure from the sun. So the sun is the core of our solar system. It's what sustains us here on Earth. We use sun signs as the main theme when we're reading our horoscope, and most people know what their sun sign is. Of course, some people call it their star sign. So their star sign, their sun sign, it's the same thing. So some people, when they hear the word planets, they might remember the order of the planets. So that's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And yes, Pluto is still a planet, according to astrologers. So an easy way to remember the order of the planets, if you don't already know, is my very eager mother just served us 9 pizzas. And you're thinking, say what? So it's like some people I've heard, I don't use it because I know the order of the planets, thankfully, already. But some people remember the order of the planets by remembering my very eager mother just served us 9 pizzas. If you take the first letter from each of those words, that gives you my, for Mercury, V, very, Venus, all that sort of thing. It's just a funny little thing. I'm wondering if anybody's ever heard of that one. I'm sure there's lots of others. Let me know if there are others. But, yeah, that's one way to remember the order of the planets. So the planets range from Mercury on out through Pluto. They're various sizes. The planets that are closest to the sun move the fastest. So you have Mercury that has its annual cycle is about 88 days compared to the Earth's, which is like 365. So the inner planets, that's Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. The mid planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So they're basically what I call the meat and potatoes of astrology. When you just use the basic, the planets are not basic, but you just use the obvious planets. There are a lot of other astrologers out there that use the asteroids, which I tend to do in my readings because it just gives me a little bit more depth. There are other astrologers out there that use planets out there that haven't even been discovered yet. So those astrologers are called Uranian astrologers, and they believe that there are other planets out there yet to be discovered. And there is definitely something to that because we have, say, for example, Mercury. Mercury is the ruler of Gemini and Virgo, but really each sign should have its own planetary ruler. So we're waiting to see in maybe our lifetime or future lifetimes that Virgo might actually be ruled by a different planet that has yet to be discovered, or discovered within the technology we have, I should say. So it's interesting. It's food for thought. It makes sense to me that there are still planets to be discovered, because if you think about it, we didn't always know about Uranus, Neptune and Pluto. For example, Pluto was discovered in 1930 when we had the technology at that time, like a very, very super powerful telescope to actually see that Pluto was out there. Before 1930, we didn't know Pluto existed. So I think that's just absolutely fascinating. To know that there are the potential to have other planets out there that we don't know about yet. Very interesting stuff there. So planetary cycles. Oh, just in time for a break. So stay tuned, because after the break, I will continue with talking about the planets. So stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets. The planets, the foundation of astrology, it's what astrology is all about. Astrologers track the movement of the planets around the sun and give that movement interpretation based off ancient Greek and Roman mythology. Astrology has been around for a really long time. A really, really, really long time. So just before the break, I was about to start talking and explaining a bit more about the planetary cycle. So what I want to do in tonight's show is give you a background on the planets before talking about each of the individual planets and the meaning. So our solar system is comprised of nine planets, and then we've got the sun and moon, which astrologers classify as planets, but we know that the moon is a satellite and the sun is a star. They are in, and there's a lot of other various smaller objects, such as asteroids and comets, and there are other things as well that are not physical bodies, but astrologers have certain calculations about, say, for example, the nodes. If you've ever heard of the north node, the south node, then that is just a measurement of where the Earth and the Moon cross in their path in the orbit around the Sun. So, of course, the Moon orbits the Earth and the Earth orbits the Sun. So you've got certain measurements that are not even physical bodies like the planets or the asteroids, etc. So with the planetary cycles, you know, the inner planets move a lot faster than the outer planets. So you've got Mercury, which its orbit around the Sun is about 88 days compared to Pluto. Its orbit around the Sun is about 250 years. So there's a huge, huge difference. And the outer planets hold more weight than the inner planets. So they take longer to transit, and transit means influence. So the outer planets take longer to have an effect, but their effects are much more intense and long-lasting compared to an inner planet like Mercury or Venus, which doesn't last as long and is not as memorable as an outer planet transit. Now, if that's too much jargon, go to my website, theastrologer.com, and there's so much information under glossary. And a glossary I have on the site is like a dictionary with every astrological term you can think of. And I've curated videos and other content from other astrologers to give even more information. I've got links to reference books that you can order from Amazon and other even products around any sort of topic you can think of within astrology. And astrology is, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's a really, really complex system that's been around for a really, really long time. So back to the planets, as I said before the break, that for hundreds and hundreds of years, astrologers were measuring planetary activity all the way out through Saturn, and we didn't know that Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto even existed until about 200 years ago. Uranus and then Neptune and then Pluto in 1930 was discovered through technology. Now, over the course of the time I've been doing the show, I talk a lot about rulership, and I sometimes, astrologers always have like these in jokes, and so I always make a joke and say, oh, well, you know, like the planets have their favorite children and their least favorite children, you know, children equating to sign. And so you have planets that rule different signs. So I want to cover that in tonight's show as well, because the idea of rulership is a very old astrological concept. So, for example, you have the sun, and the sun rules Leo. You have the moon rules Cancer, and so on. So each planet is said to rule one or more signs. So that means that the planet governs or is connected to the qualities and characteristics of a particular sign. So it's a good little system to use because everything ties in, you know, nicely together usually. It's like a self-enclosed integrated system that many astrologers do prefer to use today. And so I could sort of run through it now, I guess, and then later when I'm covering the planets, I'll talk about it again. So you've got, as I said, the sun rules Leo, the moon rules Cancer, and the energies of each go really nicely together. And then you've got Mercury, which rules Gemini and Virgo. Even though those two signs are squared, they're both intellectual but in very different ways, because Gemini is an air sign and Virgo is an earth sign. And then you have Venus, which also rules Taurus and Libra. Mars rules Aries and Scorpio. And then you start getting into the mid-planets, and Jupiter rules Sagittarius, but in ancient times it also ruled Pisces until Neptune was discovered. And you've got Saturn ruling Capricorn. And then when the outer three planets were discovered, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, Uranus rules Aquarius, but before it was discovered, Aquarius was ruled by Saturn, which is confusing to some budding astrologers or astrologists, because Saturn ruling Capricorn and Aquarius, those two signs are so different. And Aquarius being a sign of the eccentric or, the visionary, it's sort of like, well, how does Saturn fit into that equation of being the ancient ruler of Aquarius? Well, Aquarius is a fixed sign, and Aquarius, it might have these wacky and wild ideas, but it can implement. It can actually get stuff done because its co-ruler or ancient ruler is Saturn, if that makes any sense at all. So then you've got Neptune, which is ruling Pisces, and then the ancient ruler of Pisces was Jupiter, and so Jupiter was ruling both Sagittarius and Pisces, which again, those two planets, when you just take those out, they're square. But really what draws them together is not just being mutable signs, but the ancient ruler of both is Jupiter. And Jupiter is the planet of not just luck and good fortune, but our faith, our beliefs, our optimism, our hope, being able to see the broader picture. So that's what brings those two signs together, which at first glance looks like they have nothing in common, but that's not necessarily true. And then finally, the outermost planet that we have, and yes, Pluto is still a planet, according to astrologers. Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. And before Pluto was discovered, Mars ruled both Aries and Scorpio. So astrologers use Mars as the co-ruler or ancient ruler of Scorpio. So that's how you have, like, signs that don't seem to have anything in common are pulled together typically by an ancient ruler or even a modern day ruler like Mercury and Venus. There's lots of little formulas as well with astrology, because there is just so much to remember when you're a student and you're going through it, you know, what connects to what, you know, it's about joining the dots. So as we have planetary rulers, we also have the planets with their least favorite signs, which I always get a kick out of saying their favourite children and their least favourite children. So then you've got something called a detriment. And so a detriment is the opposite of rulership. So when you have like the sun in Leo, so the sun rules Leo, but it's in its detriment when it's in Aquarius. So a detriment means the opposite sign to the rulership, and I'll go through each one as well. But so a detriment means that the sign is not in its strength, or the planet is not in its strength. It's operating like in a very from a very weak position. So this is more so in a natal chart. And a natal chart is the snapshot of the planets at the time you were born. So, for instance, at the time you were born, Mars, if it was in Aries, then you have a very strong Mars. But if at the time you were born, Mars was in Libra, then your Mars is weak. And so it's sort of like if you think about having extra strong brownie points or karmic points, when a planet is very strong with one of its own signs, or the sign with the planet, and so on. So so that's what needs to be taken into consideration when, if you're looking at your own chart, your own planets. And again, go to my website, theastrologer.com/chartwheel, to get a free chart wheel, and then you can see where your planets, where the planets were at the time of your birth, and then follow along with where the planets are at the time you were born. Were they in their rulership, their detriment, There's also exaltation and fall, which I will cover in just a minute. So this is really, really important because if a planet is operating from a position of strength, then if you can relate that back to your own characteristics and functions in life, it's like, well, then you can come from a position of strength if your natal planet is operating from a point of strength. It's sort of like a highlight of the birth chart or a highlight of life in general. So the detriments, as I just said, I'm going to whiz through those really fast. The planets in detriment. So when Venus is in Aries, it's detriment. Mars in Taurus, in its detriment. Jupiter in Gemini. Saturn in Cancer. Uranus in Leo. Neptune in Virgo. Mars in Libra. Venus in Scorpio. Mercury in Sagittarius, Moon in Capricorn, Sun in Aquarius, and Mercury in Pisces. Now, these are known to be in detriment. And then next we have the exaltations, which is basically the strongest position for a planet to be is in its rulership. So when it's coupled up with the sign that it rules. Now, there's also a second favorite, and that's what astrologers call exaltation. So you have the position of strength is the rulership, and then next up you have the exaltation. So it's the second favorite sign. The second favorite sign of a planet is known as its exaltation. And I'm going to read those out as well. If you're following along with your own birth chart, this is a really great time to do that because then you can whiz through really fast. So after the break, I'm going to let you know what the planets are and their exaltation. So stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets. Just before the break, I was talking about the planets, and they have their favorite signs and their least favorite signs. And this is really, really important to know because once you know where your planets are and are they operating from a position of strength or weakness, it's very insightful. And particularly in a natal chart, when you've got the transiting planets, and that means where the planets are at any given time and how they're affecting you. So that's called a transit. So when you're having a transit to one of your exalted planets, that means more good things will come to you. Or if you're being affected by transit by a hard aspect, say, for example, you've got Saturn, transiting Saturn forming a square to your Sun, which is pretty tough. It's a pretty tough transit to have, usually lasts 6 to 9 months. But if you've got like a tough transit, but if you've got this transiting Saturn forming a square to your natal sun, and the sun is in Aries or Leo, then it's operating from a position of strength. It's not going to be hit as hard. Whereas if you've got a sun in Aquarius, and this transiting square from Saturn is affecting it, you're going to be affected more so. So I always joke around and I say, you know, the planets have their favorite signs, their least favorite signs, their second favorite signs, and basically the signs they just can't. I was going to say they can't stand, but that sounds a bit awful. But the signs that they like the least, how about that? So just before the break, I was just going to whiz through, if you have your list of natal planets printed out with the signs that they are in, the exaltations. So the sun, as I said, its favorite sign is, of course, Leo, and its second favorite sign is Aries. Now, the moon, its favorite sign is Cancer. Its second favorite sign is Taurus. Neptune, its favorite sign is Pisces, and second favorite sign is Cancer. Jupiter, Sagittarius, and then you have Leo, exalted. And with Mercury, Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo. So it's rulership and exalted with Gemini and Virgo. Saturn is exalted in Libra. A lot of people get confused about that because the energy of Libra is very much about, it's an air sign. It's very intellectual. It comes across as light. And then you've got it exalted in with Saturn, and Saturn's like heavy duty, intense, karmic, hardworking, obligation, responsibility. How does that fit with Libra? That's a really great question. And as I said, the system of rulership and exaltation is quite an old, ancient system. And then you've got Uranus. Uranus is exalted in Scorpio. That's the generation born around the 80s, because the outer planets are generational. So Uranus is in a sign for 7 years. So people born within a 7-year period, say late 70s, early 80s, they have Uranus in Scorpio. That's exalted. They're operating from a position of strength. Mars is exalted in Capricorn. Its two favorite signs being Aries and Scorpio, and then it likes Capricorn. Mercury is exalted in Aquarius. Its favorite signs are Gemini and Virgo. And finally, you have Venus. Venus is exalted in Pisces. So if you have Venus in Pisces, you're operating from a position of strength when it comes to all things Venus. Hopefully all this is making sense and you're following along. It's a great system. Once you know where the planets, what signs they like the most, it's really everything sort of falls into place. And then finally, you've got planets when they're in their fall, or F-A-L-L, fall. So when a planet is in its fall, it means it doesn't like the sign. It's operating from a position of weakness. And, you know, everybody's got something. So I'm going to run through those. So you can find out, like, where the planets are and what signs they like the least. And, you know, maybe if you throw a retrograde into that as well, it's like it's sort of like operating from a double disadvantage, I guess. So the planets, when they're in their fall, they don't like the sign they're coupled with. So the individual has to work harder in that area of their life, depending on what the planet is. So when you have Saturn, for example, Saturn doesn't like being with Aries. And I know people born late 60s, say 67, 68, touches of 69, no, maybe 67, say end of 66, 67, 68, people with Saturn in Aries, Saturn is in its fall when it's with Aries. So it's hard. It's a hard combination. Saturn is the planet of karma, responsibility, obligation, discipline. When it's with Aries, Aries is the sign of self. So there's karma around self with these individuals born at that time. Uranus is in its fall with Taurus. And then you've got Mars in its fall with Cancer, which is interesting because at this time we do have Mars in Cancer. So Mars is the warrior planet. It's also very testosterone driven. And when it's coupled with Cancer, Cancer is all about emotions and feelings. So you can see how those two energies don't really gel. You've got this very masculine energy of Mars coupled with the feelings and emotions of Cancer. Mercury doesn't like being with Leo. It's in its fall. And again, we've got Mercury in Leo. So at the moment, there's Mars and Mercury coupled with their signs in their fall. And then you've got Venus in Virgo, love planet Venus, hooking up with Virgo. It's very uncomfortable when it's with Virgo. Virgo is ruled by Mercury. It's even though it's an Earth sign, because it's ruled by Mercury, it can be very in its head. Venus is all about the sensual, engaging the senses. You've got the Sun. It doesn't like being in Libra. It's in its fall. The Moon is in its fall in Scorpio. It's a very hard placement. It's one of the hardest placements when Moon is in Scorpio. Scorpio is very, very emotional. The Moon is also emotional, but that those two just don't go or get on together. Neptune is in its fall in Capricorn, Jupiter in its fall in Aquarius, and finally, the hardest placement of all, according to ancient astrologers, is Mercury with Pisces. Anytime Mercury is with Pisces, apparently that's meant to be a very, very tough placement for Mercury. And that's simply because Mercury is planet of the mind, the intellect. It's any sort of cerebral functioning, and Pisces is a very emotional sign. So emotions and logic, according to ancient astrologers, because that's what this system is based from, really don't mix too well. So there you have it. That is the table of rulership, and I definitely apply it within my readings, particularly when a natal planet is being affected by a transit or compatibility. So just an example before I move on and explain the energies of each of the planets. So when you have compatibility, you know, everything looks good on paper. When you have synastry, when I'm doing a compatibility reading and, you know, there's just something niggling within the couple, and I might find sometimes that, you know, a planet, not only is it in a hard aspect to another planet within the compatibility chart, but the planet will be in its fall. It'll be coupled up together with a sign it really doesn't like. So you've got these little niggling undercurrents. That's why this the rulership, understanding rulerships, really is good practice. If you're looking to further your astrological knowledge, I strongly recommend understanding rulerships and what they're all about. On that note, I'm now going to run through the meaning of each of the planets, and starting in order, of course, because that's just how I like to do things. So the Sun. So the Sun, as I said earlier in the show, is the center of our universe. It's what sustains us. It's the center of us. Most people know their Sun sign. It's our inner fire. It's our vital energy. It just runs through our whole life. It represents our basic core personality, you know, whatever sign it was in at the time we were born. And it's separate from all the other influences that drive us. So the sun tells us a lot about somebody's personality. It tells us the strengths, the challenges, and our purpose here on Earth. And so if you think about the sun, you know, it burns so brightly, and it's all about strength when reading a chart. So, you know, and of course, as I just said, most people know their sign because the sign, the sun sign, is based from not the perfect calendar month, but basically towards the end of each month is when a new sign begins. That's because our astrological calendar doesn't line up with the human-made calendar. So the sun sign refers to where the sun was in the zodiac at the moment you were born. And then if you think that you're not that similar to a description of your sun sign, don't be too fooled. Astrology is very complex, but all of us will have touches of our sun sign, even if some of us are not so obvious or overt as others when it comes to, say, if someone's an Aries, oh, they're so much like a ram, they love butting heads with everyone, they're always on the go, love to start new things, never finish anything. And then you might have another Aries that's like, oh, I'm nothing like that. I'm very emotional, I'm very caring and compassionate. Or that might be someone who is born with some inner planets in Pisces, even though their sun is in Aries. Or sun is in Aries and inner planets like Mercury, Venus, even Mars might have been in Taurus at the time this person was born. Even the moon might be in Taurus. Or it just gives flavor. It's sort of like if you think of a birth chart with the planets at the time we were born, like a recipe. So each recipe is different. Each of us is as unique as our fingerprint. So if you've got sun in Aries, you might have moon in Pisces and the inner planets in Taurus. That really softens it and changes, mixes it up and changes it around a bit. You know, like it really adds different doses of ingredients, so to speak. On that note, we're going to take a short break. After the break, I will run through the meaning of the planets. So stay tuned.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I'm your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the planets. So most people know their sun sign, but did you know that the other planets in various signs make up the core of your birth chart and hence your personality traits, and so on? So I'm talking about, or just before the break, I was just talking about the sun. Most people do know their sun sign. And that is definitely the core of who we are. It's what we're about. But we also have the moon. The moon is about emotion. And just like the seasons and the tides, the emotions ebb and flow in cycles. So the planets move around the sun in cycles. So you've heard of retrograde, which means that the planet appears to be traveling backwards in its orbit around the sun. Technically, the planets don't travel backwards, they just slow down. And so the moon pulls the tides on Earth. It's also the subconscious mind falls in its domain. And so the moon is about emotions and nurturing and caretaking. And so the moon begins its cycle every month. And if you compare that to Pluto, the Pluto cycle is every 12 to 28 years compared to it stays in one sign compared to the moon, which is every 2.5 days. So with the moon, it can tell you, depending on the sign that it's in, and I just said that the moon didn't really like being in Scorpio. So that sort of gives the flavor of your emotional nature when you know what sign the moon is in your birth chart. And so with the moon, it's like, do you process your feelings easily or do you bottle them up? Do you lean towards sensitivity or not? So the moon's placement in your birth chart can really tell you a lot. So if you have moon in Pisces, you might be a very sensitive, soft soul compared to moon in Aquarius, where you might be more detached when it comes to emotions and hence relationships. So the moon rules the sign of Cancer. Then we've all heard of the moon phases on the show. Each time I talk about the moon phases, typically full moons. So full moons are definitely when the moon is at the brightest and the largest. The moon is the satellite to the Earth, and it controls the tides and the water on this earth. I also just said that it rules the subconscious mind and the stuff that dreams are made of. So the moon phases ranges starts at the new moon. When the sky is black, you don't see the moon at all, then it starts to build over time. 2 weeks later, it's the full moon, and then 2 weeks again, the cycle begins. And then you've got all the phases in between, first quarter, last quarter, and so on. So the moon, its orbit is around our Earth. So it's moving around our Earth while our Earth is moving around our Sun. It's a very complex system. You might have heard of the nodes, the North Node and the South Node. These are little measured points, not actual physical bodies, that are to do with the moon. They're to do with karma and destiny. We have 8 phases of the moon, which relate to certain times to do things. And the new moon is always about new beginnings. Next up, we have Mercury. Mercury. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun, and it's all about communication. It's all about communication. Mercury was messenger of the gods, and if you know what sign your Mercury is in, then that will be the key. That will be the key to how you communicate and how your mind processes information. Of course, it all depends on how it connects to the other planets as well, and also by transit. So Mercury, we all know about Mercury retrograde, and that happens 3 times a year for 3 weeks each time, and it wreaks havoc for some people. But Mercury is an intellectual planet, and it's how we communicate, how we process information, how we think, how we speak, how we send smoke signals, however that is, And Mercury rules the signs of Gemini and Virgo. Next up, we have Venus. Venus is all about love and affection and romance, socialization, pleasure, bringing people together, uniting them in harmony. It's about partnerships of any type, any sort of social gathering. It also rules finances, your attitudes towards money. So where Venus lies in your chart and with which sign influences how you approach any kind of partnership. So that'll give you insight if you're in a relationship or in a new relationship, how you connect with your partner and how they view relationships just generally. Also attitudes towards money. Venus rules the signs of Taurus and Libra. Next up we have Mars. Mars is the red planet. Red is the color of passion, and that's just what Mars rules. Mars rules your sex drive, your propensity for irritation, your urge to compete and succeed. I said earlier in the show it was a very masculine planet. Basically, it's your attitude toward everything from team sports to dating to how you argue with a friend or go after a promotion at work. Mars is your willpower. The sun is as well, but Mars is too. And so it's like how you motivate yourself to get stuff done. And as I said, your ambition as well and your energy. Mars rules the signs of Aries and Scorpio, and that's Scorpio is now ruled by Pluto, but in ancient times, Mars ruled Aries and Scorpio. Next up, we have Jupiter. Jupiter is referred to the planet of luck because it brings opportunities and advantages into your life, which can look like a stroke of luck to the untrained eye. But Jupiter really looks at the big picture, like putting the pieces together. Jupiter can bring you opportunities in certain areas, depending on what sign it was in at the time you were born. But this planet's also about learning and intellectual pursuits and spirituality. You know, I guess you could view it like an expansion of the soul. Jupiter doesn't want you just to enjoy the spoils of your good luck. It wants you to look for the deeper meaning in life. Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the philosopher of the zodiac. So its ruling planet is Jupiter. So it's all about understanding the universe and its philosophies. And its optimistic attitude. And again, depending on what sign Jupiter was in at the time you were born, what planets are transiting your natal Jupiter as well. Right now we have Jupiter in Libra. So a lot of people are going through relationship, I wouldn't say issues, but the focus is on relationships for a lot of people at this time. And that's business and personal because Jupiter is currently in Libra. And as I said, Jupiter rules Sagittarius and in ancient times it also ruled Pisces. Next up we have Saturn. Saturn has a bad reputation and for good reason, I might add. It's thought of as the taskmaster planet because of its stern and guilt-inspiring influence in our lives. Saturn is known as Lord of Karma. So as you reap, as you sow, you shall reap. Saturn keeps you in check, reminding you that all play and no work would leave you both homeless and penniless. Saturn is all about responsibility and discipline, and it's like a parental figure that can be a little too severe at times. It reminds us of our responsibilities and our obligations, and it can be very restrictive sometimes, depending on how you're getting hit by it by transit. It rules the sign Capricorn and anciently was Aquarius. Next up is Uranus. Uranus is a planet of rebellion associated with revolutions, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Anything that erupts with sudden, unpredictable force and change as we know it. Uranus is very disruptive, but it also rules original thought, unique inventions, and improvements on tradition. It's all about science, technology, humanitarianism. It's about freedom, all about freedom, and it rules Aquarius. Anytime you have Uranus by transit, it helps us to understand how to break out of our current mold and to spread our wings and fly. It's about upsetting the status quo, usually through dramatic, unexpected events that happen. Next up, we have Neptune. Neptune is often called the planet of illusion because it rules all things illusionary, like the intangible, the ethereal, abstract, anything that's elusive. Dreams and fantasy fall within Neptune's realm. Spirituality, idealism. It's the ruler of Pisces. It's also the planet of intuition and any sort of psychic ability, daydreams. And so sometimes it can confuse reality with our dreams. So it's what has that reputation. And it's sort of like it's also about deception. And it's going to be careful if you have it by transit to double check everything. Finally, Pluto, powerful and subtle, mind control. Pluto, lord of the underworld. Bringer of change. And there you have it. Thanks for joining me, learning more about the planets. I'm Kelly Fox, and this is The Astrology Show, wishing you a great week.